All right. Good afternoon. This is the second shiur of the third week of the summer kolo. This afternoon, we're going to be tackling the beginning of Reishis Hagez. As we know, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that when you have your sheep, so you're going to be shearing your sheep and you're going to be giving a portion of it to the Kohen. The Mishnayos have a discussion in terms of how many sheep you need, how much shearing has to come off the sheep. Of that shearing that comes off the sheep, how much of that has to go to a Kohen? All that is going to be discussed in the course of the parak. It's not going to be our topic today. We're going to look at a kind of a larger topic, if you will, within the idea of Reishis Hagez. If you take a look at the Mishnah, so somewhere tucked away in this Mishnah, it's a long Mishnah, so tucked away in the Mishnah is the halacha of what happens if I were to color the wool. Tucked away in the Mishnah, if you take a look, lo hispik litna lo achitzavo. So let's say before you gave it to the Kohen, so you decided, you know what, the wool right now is nice, but I can make it nicer, I can color it. So the Mishnah says that at that point in time, you're going to be putter. So you're going to be exempt. So by dyeing the wool, so the Mishnah teaches us that there is going to be an exemption. Why? So if you take a look at Rashi in the Mishnah, so Rashi says, Shetzav Yisrael Zeh Pater, Dikanye Bishinui, Da'avalei Kamazik Manos Kahuna Osha Achlan. So Rashi writes over here as a pshat in the Gemara that what you did is you were Kona. So we know we have a principle that comes up in Baba Kama. So Shinu is Kona. So whenever I effect a change in an item, so that means now that I made a kinyan on the item. Now for those of you who learned Baba Kama, so you know that the principle Shinu is Kona means that now I've acquired the item. But if I stole the item, obviously I have to pay the value of the item. So good. So I was Kona the item. So, but at the same time, I have to pay for its value. So the Gemara over there says, of course, you have to pay for the value. Meaning Veheshev, it's like Zela comes to teach me that I only return the item when it's in its original state. But once I effect a change in the item belongs to me. But being that I'm a Gazlan, I still have to make good on the value of the item. So the Gemara over there obviously points out that you have to pay back the value. You have to pay back the value. So over here, so why don't you have to pay back the value? So that's the second half of Rashi. So Rashi says, V'kanya b'shinu da'havalei kamazik matnas kahuna, oshachlam. So then we're going to go back to what we learned in the previous parak. In the previous parak, we had the halacha of Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that when you're mazik matnas kahuna, so then you don't have to pay. We already discussed earlier, earlier this man, is there any kind of chiyuv latzei sidei shemayim in order to pay? So, but we'll leave that topic alone. We covered that topic. We haven't exhausted that topic, but we covered it. But anyways, you don't have to pay because A, you created a shinui, which now makes it a kinyan, and B, you don't have to pay back any kind of value because mazik manas kahuna, you're going to be putter. Okay. Adkan, that's the Mishnah, and that is the Rashi. If you take a look on the source sheet, so I quote the Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama, I left out an Aleph behind the second Mar Makom, so that's fine. Amar Rava, probably figured it out. Amar Rava Shinu Kona. Ksiva Vatanina, this idea that Shinu is Kona. So it's a Pasuk in the Torah. It is Mishnayos, meaning we know it. So Ksiva, as far as a Pasuk in the Torah is concerned, the Aleph you can ignore, Veheshev is Exela Shagazal. So the Pasuk says that when you steal something, they have to return the item that which you stole. Matam alam asher gazal. The two last words are redundant. Obviously, you're stealing the item. You got to return the item that which you stole. What else would you think? So im kein shegazal yachzir v'im lav damim ba'ama b'yishlumei. So if the item is still as it was originally when I stole it, and I did not effect a change in the item, so then wonderful. So then you have to return the item. If not, however, so then you don't return the item. You get to keep the item. You have to pay back its value. Good. You pay back the value. So that's the pasuk in the Torah. Befer speaks to the idea of shinui kona. The Gemara goes on. Tanina. We also learned it as Mishnayos and Braisos as well. Hagoza eitzim vasa kelim. So the Mishnah Baba Kama. If I steal wood and then after stealing the wood I make it into a kli, so then you are kona. Tsemer vasa begadim. If I steal wool and I make begadim out of it, so once again you're kona. So misham kishas exilas. So you're going to have to pay. At what time are we going to assess the time that you're going to pay? At the time that you were gazlan. Okay. And then Inami, the Gemara over there says, and I'll give you another Mar Makom, another Braisa, in this case a Mishnah, that tells us that Shinu is Kona. And which Mishnah is it? None other than our Mishnah. Inami lo hispik litna lo achit savo. If you didn't give it to the Kohen, the gaze, and you dyed it, so then you're going to be Pater. So the Gemara over there says, I'm a Shinu is Kona, so you see that Shinu is Kona. Good. So Rashi over here, as per the Gemara Baba Kama, says that the dyeing of the wool is a shinui and therefore you're kona, and that's why from that point in time you're going to be putter. You're not chayv in the mitzvah of reishis, I guess. Good. All that is just a welcome mat. That's just simply the basics. That's just a hello. Now let's advance the discussion. And let's take a look at a Tosfos in Baba Kama on that sugya. So Tosfos over there writes as follows. Achitzivo. In Lefarish Shitseva Chelkosh or Kohen. Mafrihishlo Mina Giza. Deloshaich Behafrasha. Kemo Gabi Chuma. So Tosfos gives us a yesod when it comes to this idea of Reishis Hagez. The idea of Reishis Hagez is that I'm going to shear the animal, I'm going to walk away, I'm going to have wool, and I'm going to give a portion of it over to a Kohen. So Tosfos says, I'll tell you what is not pshat. What is not pshat is that there's no hafrasha. Now by Truma, of course, we know there's hafrasha. In other words, when you have tevel, so you're going to be mafrish Truma. You have to take off Truma. There's another mitzvah, which is nesina. You have to give it to the Kohen. In other words, by Truma, there is hafrashas Truma, and then there's nesina's Truma. It says Tosfos, that's not true by Reishis Hagez. By Reishis Hagez, there's no hafrasha. Now, obviously, you're going to give a portion of it over to the Kohen, but in other words, but there's no step of hafrasha. You just simply give a portion to the Kohen. So Tosfos writes, that's not like Truma. So, v'delo shaychebe hafrasha kamo gabi Truma. De hafrasha shaychebe. Ava hafrashas Reishis Hagez, ein klum ma shehifrish letzad echad. Uke'ila lohi frishu. And so let's say you're in your house, you just did the shearing of the sheep, and you put aside a little part for the Kohen. So Tosfos says it's very nice, halachically insignificant. It has no status whatsoever just because you took a little portion and you moved it over to the side. So that means to say that according to Tosfos, pshat in the Gemara, in Baba Kama, as per our Mishnah as well, is this idea that there simply is no hafrasha when it comes to Reishis Hagez. You're going to give a portion over to the Kohen, but that's great. So when does it become the Kohen's? According to Tosfos? When you hand it to him. Right? When you hand it to him, it becomes the Kohen's. When it comes to Truma Samaiso, so when I do the Hafrash of Truma, now it's Mammon Kohen. It's more than Mammon Kohen. It also has Kedusha. But in other words, it's Shaykh to the Kohen. It's part and parcel of the Kohen's. But when it comes to Reishis Hagez, so Tosfos and Baba Kama says there is no Hafrasha. Practically, you're going to do Hafrasha. But legally, halachically, it has no meaning, it has no value. It's just simply a non-issue when it comes to Reishis Hagez. And the Tosfos points out that Piskei Tosfos, so he writes it even clearer. I mean, based on the Tosfos, but the Piskei Tosfos writes in Baba Kama, Lo Shaya Chafrasha, Begiza, Kamar Frashas Trumos, Amaisos, Veafilu Hifrish, Yachalitain Giza Achir Lekoin. So that means to say, it just brings us to a logical conclusion, that now that there's no status of hafrasha, there's no halacha of hafrasha when it comes to Reishis Hagez, so let's say you put aside a portion for the Kohen. Okay, good. And then after you put that aside, you say to yourself, you know what? I want to take that back. I'll give him another portion. So Piskei Tosfos says it's fine. No problem at all. Because, once again, hafrasha simply has no status. Okay. What's the svara? Meaning, why is it that by Reishis Hagez, so it's not shayach to have the step of hafrasha? So Rav Chanan writes the following in Kobi Shiurim, and I quote it. He says a svara. Admittedly, he has difficulty with the svara, but he says a svara. If you look in the middle of the of this short piece by Rav Chanan, he says v'hatam nira mishum de'ein b'hem kedusha kama b'truma. So a fundamental difference between truma and Reishis Hagez is that by truma there's kedusha in truma. So in order to highlight the Kedusha Satruma, so there's this step called Afrasha. Because Afrasha now is imbuing that portion that goes to the Kohen with Kedusha. Masha Enke, when it comes to Reishis Hagez, so there is no Kedusha. It's Mammon Kohen, it's monetarily the Kohen's, but in terms of Kedusha, there's no Kedusha to the Reishis Hagez. He'll be wearing it as clothing, but there's no Kedusha. And so therefore, there's no step of Hafrasha. Olechora, Thomas Eshaich, Ambepeya. Now, if this is a correct svara, so Rav Chanan says, if that's true, so then if I were to apply this svara to other matanos that don't have kedusha, so then there should be no hafrasha. Dein ba kedusha, v'lo shaycha be hafrasha. V'had de peyam miftarei mimaisar hayna lachar shezachu ba'aniyim. Aval mishona mashma denasis mamon aniyim ba'afrasha. Now, it's difficult because Rav Chanan notes that there does seem to be makaros that indicate that by peya there is a step of hafrasha. So based on the svara that he provided, it's going to be difficult. Admittedly, he admits himself, it's going to be difficult. But the svara of Rav Chanan is that the reason why there's no step of Afrasha is because simply there's no Kedusha as it relates to Reishis, I guess. Okay. So, on one side, so we have the Balei HaTosfos with an explanation of Rav Chanan that there simply is no step of Afrasha as it relates to Reishis, I guess. So that means to say that you are shearing, it's yours. And your mafrish, it's still yours. And the only time that it becomes the Kohen is when you actually hand it to the Kohen. At that point in time, now it becomes the Kohen's. That is the Balei HaTosfos. Rashi seems to indicate that there is a step of Hafrasha. Now, I can't prove it from our Rashi, but I will try. The Rashi writes, Lo Hispik Litno Lo. Now, I'm sorry, this Rashi over here is in Baba Kama. Rashi writes, Lo Hispik Litno Lo. Rashi is in Baba Kama. Rashi writes, Le Reshi Sagez Lekohen. So Rashi describes how, before you gave the Reshi Sagez to the Kohen. Now, again, I'm admitting, from that Rashi, it's not mashma a whole lot that there is a halach of Afrasha. But Rashi seems to indicate that even before it goes to the Kohen, he has a certain amount of shaychus in that. Okay. However, there is a Rashi coming up in our sugya. Rashi in Chulin, in Kuf Lamed Vav. So Rashi writes, Ein lecha bo ela mi reishiso ve'elech. Now, if you're holding at this point in the Gemara, so you know that the Gemara spends a lot of time with Rav Elai. Now, where exactly Rav Elai stands in terms of reishis hagez, so we know that he will exempt a shutfus. If you have a partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew and an animal, so Rav Elai says that you're pater from the mitzvah of reishis hagez. Now, why that should be? So it is a major discussion in the Gemara. However, eventually, what the Gemara notes is that Rav Elai learns it from a gzeirah shavah from Truma. Right? The Gemara in Kuf Lamed Vav advances the idea that he learns it from Truma. It's based on a gzeirah shavah, Nesina Sina, so it is connected to Truma. And then the Gemara notes that there, although there is a connection between Reishis HaGez and Truma, but there are also many distinctions. And the Gemara on Kuf Lamed Vav goes through six different distinctions. Yeah, I counted. I numbered it. Six different distinctions between Truma and Reishis HaGez. One of them, as the Gemara points out, One of them, the Gemara points out, it's the second one. Ima truma tovelas af reishis hagez tovelas. So by truma, so we have a concept of tevel, which means that you cannot enjoy any of the produce until you take off trumas and maestros. Is the same thing going to be true regarding reishis hagez? So amalei, amakrav, reishis gez soncha titein lo. Ein lecha bo ela merishiso ve'elech. So the Gemara says, no, we have a special drasha. Special drasha by Reishis HaGez tells us that at what point in time is it shayach for the Kohen? Merishiso. Now think about that. What does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says Merishiso? At what point are we in the process? Even without Rashi, if I were to ask you the question, what do you think that means? Okay. Rashi addresses that very point. Rashi over there, I quote in the source, you can see it in the Gemara as well. Ein lecha bo ela merishiso me'elech, mishehufrash, v'nasa reishis hu shelo. So Rashi over here clearly says that at the time that you were mafresh it, so mamish it becomes his. Aval mi'ikara ein lo ela shem echad, dahai reishis kara yiserehu, v'areishis del el samich v'habel elemichta v'geiz soncha. The pasuk could have just simply said with the word v'geiz soncha. The fact that it says reishis tells me that the Kohen has a shaychus to it at the point of reishis. Rashi describes over here the point of reishis is the point of afrasha. So, from this Rashi, it seems very clear that there is a stage of afrasha. Furthermore, from this Rashi, it also seems pretty clear that at the point of afrasha, now it's shaych l'kohen. Okay. Certainly sounds like from the Rashi that Rashi is not in agreement with Tosfos. Tosfos says that by Reishis HaGez there simply is no Hafrasha. There is no step of Hafrasha, there's no stage of Hafrasha. Simply, it's wool that's yours, and when you give it to the Kohen, so then it becomes his. Ah, you are Mafrish. Tosfos Beferish says that doesn't mean anything. It just simply means you have to be Mafrish because you're going to give a portion to him. But there is no step of Hafrasha according to Tosfos. Rashi seems to indicate no. Rashi seems to indicate that even by Reishis HaGez there's a step of Hafrasha. In line with Rashi, if you take a look at the next page, so the Rid al-Ghazi from Bechoros is totally in step with this idea. The Rid al-Ghazi writes, if you could see towards the end, you don't have to, you'll go through the whole piece over here. So Reishis HaGez, now more than halfway down, after he quotes the Rambam, Reishis HaGez mitzvasa betchila v'imifrish b'im b'emtza b'im b'sof yatza, adkan. So Reishis HaGez, so you should be taking it off first, but if you don't, and you do so in the middle, you do so at the end, it's okay. So if the mitzvah is primarily when you're first shearing, im hifrish betchila, so if you do the hafrasha, em biyad lachzor bo. So you can't retract. V'litein be'emso besof lechachila. V'kemen shekein, m'shas hafrasha, nasa mamon kohen. At the point of hafrasha, now it becomes mamon kohen. So Rashi and Agamar and Chulin certainly seems to indicate that there is a step of hafrasha, which then it becomes mamon kohen. The Rid al-Ghazi says it beferush, that at the point of hafrasha now it becomes mamon kohen. And good. And so we have a number of Rishonim who would indicate that there is a step of hafrasha as it relates to Reishis Hages. Again, this is absolutely connected to Tosfos. Tosfos says there's no such step. Tosfos, in fact, beferush says, in the Piskei Tosfos says, that even after hafrasha, if you decide that you don't want to give this, you want to give another one of the fleeces over to the kohen, by all means you could swap it out because the hafrasha didn't do anything. Okay. Could be, as a possibility, it could be that this machlokus and the Rishonim, whether or not there's a step in hafrasha, it could be a machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban in the Sharashim. The Rambam is prepared to count the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, but before he does so, he says, let me give you the ground rules. And so what he does is he gives 14 basic ground rules in terms of what's going to be counted as a mitzvah, what's not going to be counted as a mitzvah. The Rambam was not the first one who started counting mitzvahs in the Torah, right? I'm sure everyone knows the history, but just to go over. So the Gemara tells us that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. It's the Gemara in Makkos. After that, the Gemara leaves the topic alone. The Gemara is not interested in the counting of the mitzvahs in the Torah because, quite frankly, who cares? Meaning, the mitzvahs of the Torah are what they are. And yes, we gave a number, but okay, good. We're done. And so only at the point of the late Gaonim and the early Rishonim did they start trying to wonder, like, how do we get to the number 613? Good. So there was the Moneh HaMitzvahs. There were counters of the mitzvahs. And so the Rambam, after a couple of attempts of earlier, meaning late Gaonim, attempted to count the mitzvahs, the Rambam says, I'd like to tackle this project. But he says, but before I do so, let's be systematic. Of course, the Rambam was super systematic. And so when the Rambam counted the mitzvahs of the Torah, so first he says, let's go over the ground rules, then he does so. And after going over the ground rules, now he says, okay, now this one counts, this one does not count, etc., etc. So these are the Sharashim of the Rambam. These are the basic rules in terms of what's going to be counted and what's not going to be counted. And the Rambam in Shorash Yud Beis writes as follows. HaShorash HaShnei Masar She'in Rai Limnos Chalkei Malacha Min HaMalacha Sheba Atzivu Be'asiyasa. So if there is a step in a mitzvah, so we're not counting steps in the mitzvah. They're just simply that. They're steps in the mitzvah. And so he goes over a number of examples of what are considered steps in the mitzvah. V'chein, gam kein. I skip now to the right after the ellipsis. V'chein gam gabi reishis hagez. Klal ha-mitzvah hi shenotzi reishis hagez v'nasnu l'kohen. So, in terms of Reishis Hagez, so, of course, included in the mitzvah is Notzi Reishis Hagez. We're going to be separating Reishis Hagez, and we're going to give it to the Kohen. But in other words, those are just steps in the process. But that doesn't constitute multiple mitzvahs. That's only going to be one mitzvah. So, I'm not here to try to convince you that the Rambam holds that Afrasha is a thing, but if you look at the Ramban over there in his Hasagos, so he writes as follows. The Ramban on that Shorash writes as follows in response to the Rambam. Those which are not Tevel, Kigon, Reishis Hagez, Vamatanos, Hazor Lechaim Vekeva, Lo Nimne Ela Nisina Sa. The only thing that's going to be counted is the giving. V'ugam came Pashti Dekra. Shelonitz Taveno Behem Behara Masan. The Ramban writes in his Hasaga on the Rambam, there is no mitzvah in separating, Ava Amar v'Nasan LaKohen Hazrov LaChay VeKeva V'Reishis Hagez Soncha Titein Lo V'Einam Avarch B'Hafrasha San Klal. There's no bracha on the hafrasha. The hafrasha is not a necessary part of the mitzvah. It's necessary in that, of course, you have to separate it in order to give it to the Kohen. But there's no status, there's no significance in the hafrasha. So it could very well be that this back and forth between the Rambam and the Ramban, even though it really comes as a side point in terms of what is going to be counted as Moneh HaMitzvah, but it could very well be a discussion in whether or not there is a question of Hafrasha or there's no question of Hafrasha. Two more points. One. The Safnas Panech on the Rambam So he makes a suggestion. This machlokus between the Rishonim is whether or not there is a afrasha, there is no afrasha. So it could very well be built into the Gemara. Because as you probably noticed in the first sugya, in the very lengthy first sugya of Reishis Hages, so the Gemara has a major discussion between Rabbi Eli and the other Tanaim. And basically, what's behind the machlokus, again, the Gemara takes its time to get to it, but basically what's behind the machlokus is there any kind of connection between Reishis Hages and Truma? Rav Eli says there is, and the Chachamim says there's not. And so, suggested Safnas of Panech, right? You can read it inside. I'm not going to read it inside. But suggested Safnas of Panech, this could be really what's at the root of the machlokus. Meaning, if you hold like Rabbi Eli, and there's Xerishava, connecting Reishis Hages to Truma, so that means to say that to a certain degree, Reishis Hages will be patterned after Truma. By Truma, Kuli Alma, according to everybody, there is a step of Afrasha, and Afrasha is what makes it belong to the Kohen. Masha'en Kain, if I don't subscribe to Rabbi Eli, if I subscribe to the Chachamim, so Reishis Hages and Truma exist in two independent worlds, and so therefore, Truma, of course, is a Afrasha, but not by Reishis Hages, and it could be what is really at the root of this Machlokus in terms of whether Afrasha by Reishis Hages is going to be a step or is not going to be a step. One more point. Take a look at a Tosfos on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Now this Tosfos really is not shaykh for the Gemara and Kuf Lamed Zayin, it's really shaykh for our Mishnah. Tosfos over here quotes a pshat of Rashi in the Gemara, a pshat that Rashi himself does not like. You'll see why. If you take a look at the Tosfos on, I don't have it in the Mar Makom sheet, but if you take a look at Tosfos on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, Ad Shetziva Pater. So we're now just simply saying simple pshat in the Mishnah. We're going all the way back to the beginning of Shir, and the Mishnah of when you dye it, so then at that point in time, there's no longer a chiyuv of giving it to the Kohen. Perish bekunshus mishum davik ma'azik matanos ha'ochlam depater. V'hachinami gozel. Good. So he quotes the Rashi. We saw the Rashi in the beginning, where Rashi says, because you are a mazik, you did a shinui, and so therefore you're going to be pater. V'hachinami gozel. V'tema. So Tosus over here is bothered. If this is correct, if this is the correct shot in the Mishnah, Tosus asks such a wonderful question. Im kein, my kamash malan Rav Chista. So you know that in the 10th Perek, a big part of it was the Chiddush of Rav Chista. What did Rav Chista say? That if you're mazik matnas kahuna, so you're pater. And the Gemara went back and forth. Is he right? Is he not right? Right? Is it supportable? Is it not supportable? So Tosfos says, wait one second. If what we're saying is simple pshat in the Mishnah, so I have a raya brewer for Rav Chista. In fact, we'll go even one step further. Not only is it a raya brewer for Rav Chista, like, why is Rav Chista saying something which is such a big chiddush? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if I'm soveya, the gaze, so then I am pater. Isn't that exactly what Rav Chista is saying? And if that's true, so then what do I need Rav Chista for? Or why, or otherwise stated, why isn't Rav Chista just citing the Mishnah? Such a strong question. So, my kamash malan Rav Chista, kevin de masisani. Uve perish Rashi harishonim bimichtav yadov perish. So then, Tosfos goes and quotes an earlier version of Rashi, right? What he describes as Perish Rashi HaRishonim, right? Must have been a earlier defus of Rashi. In his handwriting, he writes, Perish Shekodim Shegazaz Chamesh Ton Dahainu Kidei Chiyuv Tzava Ma Shegazaz Shelobah Lidei Chiyuv Ad Shetzav O. So a suggestion that Rashi himself offers as an earlier suggestion would be that what happened is that we know that the chiyuv does not start until you shear five sheep. Right? Machlokus in the Mishnah, but the halacha is five sheep. So maybe the pshat in the Mishnah of tsoveya is that you're tsoveya it one, as you are shearing it one sheep at a time. You shear the first sheep, you're tsoveya. You shear the second sheep, you're tsoveya. And that is a possible pshat in the Mishnah. And then, what happened with that pshat that Rashi offered? So then Rashi, what he did, Vehevir alav kumus. And then Rashi, after writing that pshat, he took his pen, and he went right through it. Meaning he didn't like it. Okay. V'nira de kamash malan Rav Chista shelo nefarish masisin keper shemachak bekuntras. Elapata mishum demazik matanas kahuna shekana mishinui. So in other words, in that pshat that Rashi ended up rejecting, so now there's another way, there's an alternative way to learn the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah's Petur has nothing to do with Shinui Kona. It has to do with the fact that you never got to the chiyuv. Ah, if you never got to the chiyuv, so then the Mishnah has nothing to do with shinui. The Mishnah has nothing to do with being mazik. It's just that you never got to the chiyuv. Rashi rejected that pshat, and the chiddush of Rav Chisda suggests Tosfos is that maybe you can offer that as a pshat in the Mishnah. It no longer serves as a raya to Rav Chisda, and that's why Rav Chisda has to tell us, no, if you're mazik matanis, you're going to be pater. Good. That is a earlier suggestion of Rashi in the Mishnah, which he himself ended up rejecting. Good. I would only add to the Tosfos that as far as Rashi's concerned, I understand why he rejected the earlier pshat and now he offered his pshat. Because consider, once Rashi holds that there's a stage of hafrasha, so now what? So now it could be that you're holding the Reshus Hages, but meanwhile, it could belong to the Kohen. Meaning for Rashi, there is a stage of hafrasha. There is a Reshus Hages where it's yours, then your mafresh now becomes the Kohen, and now you're Soveya, so now you're being Mazik, the gaze of the Kohen. Oh. If you did not subscribe to this idea of hafrasha, so now what? When can you be Mazik, the Matnas Kahuna of Reshus Hages? Before you give it to him, meaning if there's no hafrasha, before you give it to him, whose is it? It's yours. After you give it to him, whose is it? It's his. There literally is never a stage where it's his but by you. So if you didn't have hafrasha, there literally is no place in the transaction where it's his but you're in possession of it. Now that there is a stage of hafrasha, and again, according to Rashi, there is a stage of hafrasha, so now you understand. Now the Mishnah over here complements Rav Chisda. Because now we have a stage in which you are mafresh it, which means now that it's mum and kohen, but you haven't given to him yet, and so now we can learn the halacha of Rav Chisda that you're mazik mum and kohen. But if there's no stage of hafrasha, so literally now Rav Chisda has no place in the Mishnah, because either it's yours, or you gave it to him and it's his. And Rav Chisda is talking about a scenario where you are still in possession of it, you haven't given it to him yet, and you were mazik at that point in time. Remember, according to Rav Chisda, once you give it to the Kohen, and then you're mazik it, of course you're chayav l'shalem, meaning it was in his possession. Rav Chisda was only talking about a circumstance where it was his, but under your possession. So the only way Rav Chisda can work is only if you hold by the afrasha. If you don't hold by the afrasha, so then it literally doesn't work. And Rashi, in that first pshat, that first pshat that Rashi offered that he ended up rejecting, there's no place for Rav Chisda in such a pshat. Okay, so let's quickly recap. So as far as the mitzvah of Reshus Hages is concerned, so you're mafresh and give it to the Kohen. Is that hafrasha significant? Tosfos and Baba Kama says absolutely not. There's nothing to the hafrasha. The Piskei Tosfos agrees. The Rav Chanan gives us far why that should be, because there's no kedusha. Rashi in Baba Kama, but Rashi even clear in our Gemara and Kuf Lamed Vav says that there is a stage of hafrasha. That's Mei Reshisa. And so at the stage of hafrasha, now it becomes mam and kohen. You obviously still have to give it to the kohen. It's still nesina, but it's mamish, it's mam and kohen. And the Marita Al-Ghazi also agrees that there's a step of hafrasha when it comes to Reshus Hages. Could be a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban in Shoresh Yud Beis. And in terms of what's behind the machlokes, suggestion of the Tzafnas Paneach, it could be totally on how connected the Reshus Hages is to Truma. Ravi Lai holds that it's mamish, they're connected. It's learned through Gzeira Shava. According to the Chachamim, there is no connection. So it could be Talu and that Machlokas. And on top of all that, the Tosfos on the top of Kuf Lamed Zayin, where he offers a variant pshat of Rashi in the Gemara, which Rashi himself ended up rejecting. He inserts the pshat which he prefers, which is that this is connected to Rav Chisda. Why didn't Rav Chisda use this as a raya? So because of the other pshat that you could have offered. And my only additional point is that now that you offered Rashi's preferred pshat in the Mishnah, now you understand Rav Chisda as Shaychus, because if you didn't learn that Hafrasha was a step, so Mamash, Rav Chisda has no place in the Mishnah, because either it's yours or the Nesina to the Kohen. But there's no middle step where it belongs to the Kohen, but it's still in your possession.